What's up, everyone? It's Brian, the producer of The Mark Haney Show. I want to start off by saying I hope that you and all of your family members are safe during these uncertain times. You're about to hear an episode from our new daily webinar series called Power of With. We put this together in light of recent events. We brought together all of the experts in our community to help give you resources and action steps that you can take today in order to survive during these uncertain times. If you'd like to catch the webinar live, you can find it on our website, haneybiz.com, under the events section. You can register. We go live every day at 2 p.m. We hope to see you there, and we know that we can get through this together.
Or so, I'm going to go ahead and set up the discussion, because today we're really fortunate to be talking to two of the leaders of the Sacramento region business community. And I think Sacramento and the broader region, obviously we've been hit hard with this with the coronavirus, and there's a lot of uncertainty, and there's a lot of it creates doubt, and at some level we're trying to figure out our best strategy. But I think today we can talk about the strength of Sacramento, the people of Sacramento, why the region is withstanding this well, possibly compared to other places around the country. And we have a man that's got a lot of statistics and also taken some leadership with Greater Sacramento. We have Barry Broom, and then we also have Wayne Wiley, who is the economic development guru over at the city of Roseville. So today we're going to figure out what's going on, what are the prospects, how much of a setback this may have been. But as I've heard Barry talk about on a few occasions, I think that there's a way to be opportunistic when you sort of get hit in the mouth a little bit. So I think as leaders come together, we're going to figure out a way to really rally and hopefully create some real opportunity out of this issue. So I want to turn it over to my main man, Rick Spencer. He's the brains behind this operation. He's sort of put this together along with Monique Brown and Brian and the rest of the team. But Rick, thanks for your leadership here at Haney Biz. I appreciate it. Maybe you can share a few words before we turn it over.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. And thanks to all our attendees for joining our Power of With webinar series. We're now into our third week of daily webinars, and it's just been an amazing event. So we had our best attended webinar yesterday on a very popular topic, SBA loans and the Paycheck Protection Program. So we're growing with our community support, just getting amazing testimonials about how this content is helping small business owners and entrepreneurs through this crisis. So it's just been really rewarding. Our team of CPAs and CFOs and our Vice President of Investments, Ian DeWert, and myself have been helping companies through our programs. So our experts have been working on two specific programs that we have launched at Haney Biz. One is called the Crisis Action Plan. We're working with small businesses and entrepreneurs to help them understand their financial runway and solutions for them to consider in this crisis. All of the proceeds for that program are going to donate for Sacramento. So we're trying to rally around the support of small businesses in Sacramento and help any way we can. Of course, with all of the different loan options that are now available and uniquely available in this crisis, especially the Paycheck Protection Program that I just mentioned, we've also launched a loan assist program. So that's become a very popular program that we've started and are already enrolling people in. So if you're interested in either of those programs, feel free to contact me directly or go to our dedicated crisis page on our website, haneybiz.com/crisis. The last thing I'll just say is that we want this to be as interactive as possible. So at the bottom of your screen, the Zoom window, you'll see a Q&A icon. So at any time during the presentation, feel free to submit your questions to the Q&A process, and we'll get to them as many as possible. If not, we can follow up afterwards. So without further ado, we have our esteemed guests today, Barry Broom and Wayne Wiley.
Thank you. Thanks guys for joining. And I want to make sure, so one of the things I was teasing Barry about it before we get on here is I'm probably second to him in terms of turning the mic over. So he grabs the mic and sometimes he doesn't let go. I tend to have that I tend to do that as well. But Wayne Wiley with the City of Roseville, let's start it off with you, Wayne, because I want to make sure you get a good opportunity here, because Roseville is such an important player in this ecosystem. What are you seeing right now in the city?
Well, first off, I just want to give a shout out to our community. You know, by and large, city employees have been doing a phenomenal job, you know, all working remotely. Our elected, our council members have all kind of came together to really support our business community that's been heavily impacted by this, particularly small businesses. You know, they're the backbone of our community. They make up about 85% of our businesses. And so I think we're doing a good job of, you know, trying to come together to really support them. To that end, you know, Roseville, within a matter of weeks, put together a stabilization loan program where we pulled $1 million together to offer 0% interest loans. This is for small businesses with 25 or fewer employees. The terms are 3 years to be paid back over 3 years, deferred payment beginning January 1st. And so we rolled that out. And within a matter of 3 days, we had over 300 applicants.
Wow. Okay.
And so on one hand, that's great, you know, that people were responsive and that there's the need there. But on the other hand, we realized, you know, that's not going to be enough. And so some of the other resources that Rick mentioned, I just encourage people to, you know, go to these websites, check on these resources from the different community partners. And then, you know, to your other point, one of the reasons why we're doing so well is because we rely on, you know, partnerships with GSEC, with Haney Biz, with our chamber, with the county and surrounding jurisdictions. And so we're all in this together. You know, Roseville acknowledges that, we realize that, and, you know, hats off to the community members who've come together really to prove that point.
Barry, maybe you can help us too with the mindset that it takes as the leader of economic development for the entire region and the different players in the ecosystem. Can you talk about the mindset and how we might be utilizing is strength in numbers?
Yeah, well, first off, thank you and congratulations to Roseville, who's been really, you know, Roseville and Folsom and Sacramento and Davis have been kind of the regional anchors to our economy. You know, with all the economic activity in Roseville, if you look at the jobs in Roseville, about 80% of those jobs are taken up by people living in the region. So if you've been on the 65, you know that, because we're going to Roseville for a job. But, you know, one of the things that's key about regionalism, no one community produces more than 25% of their jobs. So, you know, we need to pull ourselves up together and work together, because really the economy is a set of shared values. You know, we all love to go to Westfield. Well, Westfield's in Roseville. Roseville collects a lot of income on that. But, you know, many years ago, Roseville took the risk and put all the infrastructure in for the product. You know, we love to go to the Kings games and Golden One. Well, City of Sacramento might collect some of that revenue, but they put the $250 million bond in it to do the public-private partnership. So everywhere where you look, where you see success, think of that as an asset that's being shared in the region. And each one of these communities is bringing a different asset and a different set of capabilities to the regional economy. And, you know, when we do it together and when we execute, we can't be beaten. And I think the difference between this challenge and what we had in 2008, I mean, they're very different challenges. One is a pandemic that has structurally hit the economy. The other was a structural economic problem with loss of credit in the banking community. As you can see, the banks are aggressively investing because they're financially stable. So it's a little bit of a different economy, but it's still going to be the same thing. We're all in this together. We have to have one mission, one vision, and we all share in the success, whether Westfield's the most successful mall or Golden One, or UC development at Oak Park, like Aggie Square. Every single person here is benefiting from the other person's success, and our ability to collectively elevate each other is the key to our recovery.
So I talk to entrepreneurs every day, probably more than most, and each of them is getting hit with this somewhat differently. For some, it actually hasn't hit them as hard, and for others, it's been devastating, and there's a lot of fear and maybe even an optimism level that has decreased, maybe dramatically in some cases. Talk to us about the optimism level within the economic development leadership, and maybe with the people that are sort of helping hold this thing together with between the cities and the large corporations.
Yeah, you know, just, you know, one of the things I always reflect on being in a leadership role is, you know, my dad was 15 and my Uncle Kenny was 16 when they joined the Marines for World War II. So if you can imagine, my Uncle Kenny was in the Pacific. My dad was a China Marine. Can you imagine being 15, 16, 17 years old and being sent out to the Pacific? So, you know, in our history, our country has faced unimaginable challenges. And, you know, and we have overcome them every single time. So I think, you know, first off, you know, I think it's important to remember that we're incredibly resilient, and we've proven that time and time again as Americans, as Californians, and as people in this region. And I really think in anything in life, you know, people will respond to how the leadership responds. And if you want to keep the confidence of your investors and keep the confidence of your suppliers and keep the confidence of your customers during this difficult time. And I just got off the phone with one of my board members who's lost 96% of their revenue for 6 weeks. And so, you know, to me, you know, confidence is so important, because, you know, if we don't believe in ourselves, no one else is going to believe in us. So I think some of this is, and, you know, going back to my dad and my uncle, you know, they used to have a saying, you know, if you weren't scared, you were crazy. So if you're scared right now and you're afraid and you're upset and you're nervous and you're feeling anxiety, you know, that's normal. But, you know, we really want to make sure we're managing that and thinking and speaking in terms of success and achievement. And I think what our goal is, when this stay order lifts, I mean, we're going to come out, you know, we're going to come out of the corner like, you know, we're in a 15-round fight for the heavyweight championship of the world. You know, we're coming out swinging with everything we got.
Well, I mean, I think there are some things that are more important than fear. And I think when you start thinking about the things that you're working on, Wayne, the things that are happening in the city and in the greater Placer County area, these things are enormous, and they're worth sucking it up and fighting for, even if we do have some trepidation or fear and uncertainty. These are too important to be wallowing. Thoughts, Wayne?
Right. Yeah, no, I would just agree. I think the resiliency piece is key to this conversation, because, you know, our electeds, our executive team, our managers all understand that. And that's the message we're really trying to communicate, you know, to our community partners and to our business community, is we understand it's difficult. It's very frightening right now, but we're gonna make it to the other side. And, you know, the city, other organizations are here for them to make sure that they are successful once we get through this.
Well, let's talk about how are we doing that. What are the resources that you're seeing begin to spring up that entrepreneurs and the business community can take advantage of or kind of tap into?
Yeah, you know, there's a whole host of programs and resources we have listed on our website. And, you know, these span from federal programs and resources, state, local. At the local level, you have nonprofits that have grants available. You have banks that are doing low interest loans. So, you know, there's a whole variety of things out there, not only for small business, but for the individual business owners. I know there's veteran programs out there for, for active duty and for veterans. There's loans and grants available. So I think depending on what your niche is, you know, what special group you're a part of, there's something out there available for you.
Yeah, we hear a lot about the SBA loans, and those are, to me, that seems to be the hottest program in town. That PPP is really on everybody's mind. But beyond that, Barry, you're working with the entire community to sort of help establish the right programs for business growth.
Yeah, so so there's a couple of things going on. One, you know, all the chambers and all the economic development leaders in the region collaborated around creating a portal at the Greater Sacramento Chamber. So if you go into the portal of the Greater Sacramento Chamber of Commerce, there's a rapid response page. We, together with Amanda Blackwood, raised about $300,000. It's staffed. I think it goes live today, if I'm not mistaken. If not, it goes live tomorrow. So you can go to that portal and get all the information you need. The second thing...
That's the SAC Metro Chamber? SAC Metro Chamber. Yep.
Yeah. Second thing you should be doing is talking to your banker, because this stimulus package, you know, one of the silver linings on this is how well that the federal government has actually come together and worked between Mitch McConnell, Nancy Pelosi, and Donald Trump. You know, a month ago, 6 weeks ago, I couldn't imagine the three of them getting into a room and something productive happening. And this is really this $2 trillion stimulus package, which includes $350 billion in loans to small businesses that are also potentially forgivable. So, I mean, so call your banker, ask your banker to educate you on the SBA. If your banker's not responding, send me an email at my office, bbroom@selectsacramento.com. I will refer you to one of the bankers on my board who will. But this SBA money is, this CARE money is very aggressive. It could be up to $10 million. It's 3 months' pay of your payroll, possibly loaned immediately, to be forgiven if you hold on to your employment base. So banks are getting the FDIC rules to defer fees, payments, debt service. So there's tremendous help in this stimulus package. And I think I give the president and the speaker and the president of the Senate, Senator McConnell, a lot of credit for coming together on this, because it's got direct payments to families that are struggling, which can come very quickly. Make sure you got a direct account with the IRS. It's the quickest way to get it. Two, you know, tremendous flow of cash into the banking industry to make sure they can stand up these small businesses. Three, there's very strong stimulus money coming to cities and counties, also to stabilize airlines and our healthcare systems. So it's the lesson learned from 2008 when they did the $800 billion Wall Street bailout is, number one, it wasn't big enough. And number two, you know, it was centered around just the financial institutions. And therefore, the recovery drug for years. And so, you know, the bright light for everybody watching, JP Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo, Goldman Sachs are all predicting a third quarter and fourth quarter recovery. So as hard as this thing's coming down right now, the economists are predicting it's going to be like a Super Bowl. Remember when you were a kid, you'd play that Super Bowl and bounce it over your house. It's going to come down hard, but back that quick. Now, obviously that's optimism, but that is across the board that people are seeing like 10-12% GDP growth in the third and fourth quarter. So the economists are saying it's going to come down hard, come back fast, and that 2021 will actually perform higher than it was projected 6 months ago. So there is a lot of optimism. Obviously, I realize those are economists coming out of the street, but we've been following all of them, including Anderson out of UCLA, very credible group, and all the data is the same. Quick recovery, robust, aggressive, a very positive 2021 outlook.
So thinking about that, so one second here. Haney Biz is helping people with their loans. So if anybody needs help with their loans, get a hold of us. But the Wayne, you started to say something.
I was just going to say, before we moved on to the point, just in regards to resources, I would encourage people to make sure they go to reputable sites, right? So you have like HUD, the Department of Finance. You have the places that Barry recommended. You have county websites, city websites, just so that way people aren't spinning their wheels and they're getting accurate information.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what are you guys seeing in terms of the impact? What are you seeing in Roseville right now and maybe the greater Placer County area, Wayne, of the impact that this is having on the short term? Because I am invested into restaurants and I'm invested in, kind of into a number of different things. And like I said before, some are seeing upticks in business because of the type of business they're in. Others are having to do layoffs, and they're really living really close to the vest right now. And so it's impacting people in different ways.
Yeah, one thing is shop local. You know, whenever you can, mm-hmm. patronize a local business. Those folks need your support. And they're the ones that really support our community, you know, on a day-to-day basis with the Little League, you know, sports and the various things that they donate their time and resources to. And so now, you know, for the folks that are in a position to help them out, I think this is a perfect opportunity. But, you know, in Roseville, we have, what, 14, 15 hotels. They've been hit really hard. Retail, obviously, restaurants, a lot of restaurants are struggling. And so that loan program that we put together, it's just a, you know, a raindrop in a big bucket that needs to fill up, but hopefully it adds to what we're trying to do.
One of the restaurants in Roseville I'm invested into is Bennett's, and it's a newer business, but they made a quick pivot to focus more on takeout. So their takeout business is going through the roof. Well, obviously the dining doesn't really exist at the moment, but so it's like the nimbleness of an entrepreneur. It's I always say entrepreneurs are the answer. So as these things change, the opportunities look a little bit different. That's one of the beauties of entrepreneurship is we can move kind of quickly. Barry, Impact, what are you seeing in the broader region?
Well, I think first off, I think we made the right bets. So if you look at what's holding up really well, it's biotech stocks, science enterprises. So the work we've been doing with the regenerative medicine platform at Aggie Square is going to benefit. Mobility, carbon-free mobility, the projects we've been working on with Sac State and SMUD are going to benefit. The other thing that we see really is, you know, one of the reasons we didn't do as well as we should have done on the recovery back in 8, 9, 10, 11 is the market quickly pivoted towards digital enterprises and our region did not. So one of the things you're going to see is coming out in a very hard-hitting way, especially on things like financial tech firms. I think you're going to see a really strong move for digital transformation. Look at what Zoom stock's doing right now. And I think that's going to be the opportunity for us as a region. We've laid out the right strategies around the sciences and healthcare and mobility. I think the work we've been doing with entrepreneurs, Mark, your leadership, the Carlson Center, you know, Venture Catalyst, you know, all of those young companies are pre-revenue and they've been capitalized. So by getting clobbered with the revenue impact, they're still operating on their equity model. So all the pre-revenue companies are business as usual. We hear there's as much as $1 trillion in dry powder in Silicon Valley. Well, they're gonna be, you know, continuing to put that money into the market because, you know, their economic model is usually big exits and things of that sort. So we're actually well positioned from a capital standpoint and a small tech standpoint, very well positioned in our relationship with Silicon Valley. We have over 100 venture funds that we have relationships with, but I think you're going to see a massive digital transformation on the economy. And I think the difference between 2008 is starting with financial tech, healthcare tech, insurance tech, maybe mortgage tech, not so much fintech like a bank. I think you're going to see us come out hard on that within 60 to 90 days. And I think we have a really strong chance to be a market leader in that area. And that's one of our goals in this region, is not just to grow the economy, make it independent of this government dependency, which is both good and bad, but to actually have sectors like regenerative medicine and cell therapeutics at UC Davis, mobility with Sac State, or in this case, fintech with our banking community, that we are actually a market leader in very compelling technology industries.
So I want to dive into that a little bit more in a second, but thinking about one of the things I'm seeing is nationally is we have this job losses, right? And California is not immune to that. But is Sacramento better positioned? Do you have data in terms of the unemployment rates in the region? Because I was thinking that with our reliance on or the fact that we have such a large government employment base that we might be slightly immune from some of the catastrophic things that the other communities might be feeling.
Well, we're certainly, I mean, if you look at leisure and hospitality is almost zeroed out. So most of this job loss is, you know, Marriott's lost 90% of its revenue. So the good news is, you know, we're not, you know, overly dependent on leisure and hospitality, as opposed to San Diego, LA, and San Francisco, which are heavily dependent upon leisure and hospitality. So I do think we'll be more resilient. And I do think that our industries here, you know, banking, healthcare, you know, obviously we hear there's another stimulus package coming, maybe another $1 trillion to help with the healthcare situation. So I think healthcare stability is going to be strong. I think our banking and financial sector is going to grow. I think people are going to find out these small tech companies we've been working with, some of them have a chance to go big. And I was on the phone with a company yesterday out of El Dorado Hills that feels like they're 18 months out from IPO and they're out on a D round series funding model. So we've got some big winners in this town on these emerging technology plays. And I think what people are going to find out in the next 1 to 2 years, we're dramatically more resilient than we were in 2008. And I think all the hard work in the last 5 or 6 years has paid off for the community.
Yeah. So let's talk about our proximity to the Bay Area and how that might be a really nice attribute over this next several years, especially as we think about people wanting to change, you know, there's going to be this change in consumer behavior and maybe a desire to work from home, work from a place like Roseville, where you have a little bit more room, or Loomis or Rockland or El Dorado Hills. Do you see our proximity to the Bay being advantageous over this next several years, maybe even escalating some of the things that were already in the process of happening?
Yeah, I think it's going to be incredibly advantageous, because I'll give an example. We had so when we move a headquarters here, as you know, Mark, headquarters now can be 10 people. It can be the CEO and the CFO, the chief legal counsel, product development manager, and they leave their engineers. But we do know one CEO has moved into the market, and the company's got 3,000 employees in Silicon Valley. So that CEO lives here now, brought the family up, bought a house, lives here. You know, I'm not allowed to mention their name, but that's pretty cool. We have probably another 6 or 8 companies that are going to move 25, 50 top people here from the Bay Area and Silicon Valley, leave their engineers in Palo Alto, leave their engineers in Menlo Park. But I think there's only going to be a matter of time before those engineers are going to want to come up here too.
Yeah.
So I actually do I've always felt like we had the potential to be the most advantaged market in California. And I think that when this market comes back, you're going to see, I mean, we've already been receiving 10 times the amount of professional talent over Austin and Denver. So, you know, everybody's moving to Austin. Well, 10 times the amount of Bay Area people move to the greater Sacramento region than they do Austin. 10 times Denver and 5 times Seattle. So I think you're going to finally see a wave of that going up even higher. And it's my hope, as those senior executives move into Granite Bay, El Dorado Hills, that's where they're all going, all the top people. They're moving into Placer County, and they're moving into El Dorado County, quite honestly,
yeah,
because, you know, they're picturesque communities, and they got great schools.
Right.
So we're already watching that movement of literally number one, number two, number three executives migrating in, and they're running big companies.
So, Wayne, you know, I grew up in the city of Roseville. I live in Loomis today, but I work in Rockland, but Roseville is my, you know, my home. It's my baby. It's where I'm going to be buried. I've already got my funeral plot picked out near the football field at Roseville High School. But I mean, so what are you seeing here? As I talk to a guy that really has embraced my hometown, are you seeing opportunity at the moment?
I think so, and I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, we're already seeing that trend, but it's just going to continue and it's going to progress, right? I think when you talk about the proposition value of the city of Roseville and our region, right, the Sacramento region, Placer County, it's an easy sell. Look at the quality of life, the cost of living. You know, Barry mentioned schools. You know, not until you start having kids does that really become high on your radar. But once you do, you start to realize if you don't have to pay for a private school and you can get the, you know, type of education that you can in our region, there's a huge value to that. Right. And you're still within close proximity to the Bay Area. So there's folks that are telecommuting. There's folks that could still get to the city if they want to get that experience. Everything that's happening in Sacramento has also been hugely beneficial for us. That's another selling point. Right. Because downtown Sacramento is just as vibrant as ever. And that's going to continue. And so I think, you know, what we're seeing is there's an influx of people coming from all across the state, but particularly, you know, from the Bay Area.
Are either one of you seeing brakes being tapped right now? I know, Barry, you work on some of the biggest projects in the entire region with large corporations and so on. But is there anything being tapped right now? Are you seeing any delays on any of the big projects that we've all been hearing about the last several years?
No, in fact, just the opposite. MLS is a go. Kaiser's $2 billion hospital is a go. The $1 billion groundbreaking in November by Aggie Square is a go. And Larry Allball Buzz Oates is going to break ground on about 1.7 million square feet of real estate. I think about 1.2 million in distribution, 500,000 in industrial. I've been on the phone with Larry Kelly. His projects are a go. We've got Folsom Ranch. There's four or five significant healthcare investments in Folsom Ranch. That project's still a go. So we really haven't found, and that's the beauty, that's the difference between 2008 and 2008. It was an equity and credit catastrophe. So the capital's in place. You know, it might be a little bit more conservative, but the capital's in place. And a lot of these projects like Aggie Square and, the projects that Buzz Oates do and Larry Kelly, they're largely equity financed real estate deals. So we're in, so far we're in a great situation. And the nice thing about those projects going forward is they might get a 10 or 15% construction preference. One of the things we're going to be doing is making sure if you were planning on building, now's the time to build. Interest rates are literally zero. You're going to have the best construction pricing now that you've had for years. So get in the ground now. We're always worried about getting in the ground at a good time, paying construction preferences, and then coming out with a product that's too expensive because we get caught in a downturn. Well, we now know if you're breaking ground now, you're getting the best construction pricing. You're getting the best financing pricing from the banking community. We know when you open your doors in 18 months, you're going to be opening your doors during a time of full employment and robust growth. So there's really a great opportunity for us to, double down on these projects and actually make them more attractive, with the understanding that the social distancing is working. We're going to get the pandemic under control and that it's a V recovery.
Yes. How about in Roseville and the greater Placer County area? We're calling an area of Placer County now Placer Valley. Are you seeing things taking off the table that were on the table weeks ago?
Yeah. From a development standpoint, I have not. Things are still going. You can still drive by some construction sites and see, projects just moving, forward. And so that's really encouraging. I will say we've been talking about doing a collaborative business event known as Placer Valley 2020. That is something that we have put on hold, unfortunately, until I think November 10th is the new tentative date for that. That's a business collaborative for everyone within the Placer region, which unfortunately we did have to delay those plans, but we're going to be moving forward with that. And there again, that speaks to the resiliency piece and that, things that aren't moving forward right now, maybe we have to take a pause in certain areas, but we're going to get back at it. And we're going to, for the areas that have kind of subsided a little bit, they're going to ramp back up.
Okay. So I want to make sure that I bring Rick in to kind of help shore up some of my questioning. And I think we have a couple of questions from the audience as well. So maybe I'm gonna enter Rick Spencer, my right-hand man. What are you hearing from our audience there that we may want to ask?
Yeah, a couple questions. First, shout out to Laura Good from Startup SAC. She was quick to post the rapidresponse.metrochamber.org website that Barry referenced. So that's in the chat for all the attendees. Barry, question to you about, you talked about the bets that we've placed right, biotech and mobility. And you mentioned the response of the federal government. I'm curious about your perspective of the response of the state government. And also with pandemic, being a new normal, something that businesses will have to consider going forward as far as continuity and something that we'll have to think about personally. How do you see what is normally considered a disadvantage of us being a government town being an asset for the region?
Well, first off, let's hope the state has a response, and I think, one of the things that's been, my biggest frustration, I've been here 5 years now, My board signed me to a 5-year contract. So, you know, I'll be here for doing this job for quite another few years. Is I've always been perplexed why the state of California won't revisit, you know, the obvious inequities in their policies and their and the problems that they've created for business. And I don't even mean taxes, because, you know, you make a lot of money in California, but things like the labor laws in California, PAGA, I mean, they should be repealed. They should have never happened in the first place. 40,000 businesses have been sued since 2004, and every single one of them have lost. I mean, it's an outrageous situation that has basically been a patronage system for certain special interest groups that have undue influence over our government. So I think right now, I think the governor's done a great job on the pandemic and has been a leader in that. And I hope that Governor Newsom will sit down and, you know, things like AB 5 disrupting the gig economy. I have no idea what their motivation is to do these things, but getting the state government to back up on its regulatory appetite and hopefully amend that would be the best kind of recovery model, because constant uncertainty. The losers in the regulatory oversight in California, it's not guys like us. You know, you're not hurting an engineer. You know, what you're hurting is XYZ company was thinking of putting 1,000 jobs in, you know, Rockland and pay them $65,000 a year. And then the chief legal counsel lets them know that, you know, each one of those jobs is a target by a regulator in a law firm if they miss lunch. And all of a sudden, you know, Reno and Las Vegas and Salt Lake City start looking really, really good. So, you know, I hope we can get the state to get real on a state economic philosophy, kind of get out of politics when it comes to the economy and do the right thing. I shouldn't do this, but do you think Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez would like 25,000 Amazon jobs right now? I bet she would. So, you know, politics and economics, they don't work out very well. So no matter who you are, whatever your hardcore politics are, they never work well on the economy, because the economy acts on merit and markets. So I hope the state does something. One of the things that's going to happen is cities are going to get some significant money through the stimulus. So one of the things I think is important is that these cities set some of this money aside coming to help them. Certainly some of that has to be towards budget stabilization, because they've been hit too. But some of that money needs to be set aside for a recovery strategy. And I think a recovery strategy around emerging companies, I think, is really important. But from a regional standpoint, you know, everything we did was to move ourselves away from government. And to move ourselves away from government, we had to move towards industries of the future. And I think this correction is going to accelerate things like digitalization. And, you know, those are the industries of the future. So I hope the state acts. I think the local community will. I know my board is very committed to the recovery. I think things like capital preferences are here in California over other states, and our proximity to Silicon Valley can really benefit from that. But it would be very heartening to see the governor actually make a fundamental correction in what has been a declining business proposition for small businesses to operate in California.
I can see the chat saying AB5. There's a group of people on the chat that are not enamored with AB5, which it's not the first time I've heard that.
Yeah. Wayne, I'm curious if you have any response to Barry saying, you know, cities need to be prepared for potential stimulus funds and how that can guide the economic economy. Any thinking you can give us a preview about what the city of Roseville is considering?
Well, you know, I think his comment is spot on. Right now, though, we've been more kind of reactionary or responsive to the current situation. So we've only had tentative conversations about, you know, moving forward, how we're going to, you know, better prepare ourselves in the future. But I can tell you that was, you know, it's been a goal of council to promote small business. And so I think whatever we can do to really help position ourselves to support some of these emerging businesses, you know, it's going to be great. And my hope is, and I'm a pretty optimistic guy, is that this is going to be the spark to kind of change that paradigm, to, you know, create that paradigm shift with the state and maybe some of the mandates that they have. And, you know, I'm just hopeful we come out of this collectively in a better situation.
Earlier, Wayne, you talked about, buy local, shop local. I always preach invest local, relentlessly local. Are there things that the local municipalities or the economic development people can do to encourage that or maybe incentivize that?
Yeah, one of the things that we do, we have on our website is we have a list of businesses that are still open, during this time frame. And so people can go on there and see, what restaurants they can help patronize. We also have a, in collaboration with the chamber, an area where you can go in and upload information on your business if you still have a product or service that you're providing during this time. So I think it's small things, incrementally that add up. Unfortunately, there's no one size fits all solution for what we're going through now. But I think wherever we can be innovative and kind of think outside the box, just to support each other, I think that's where we get our wins.
Well, you see the stimulus money going right into small businesses. And so I see the people I see Jeff Joaquin, he owns something called Marquee Media. It's a billboard company. I think they're the only local billboard company that's, independently owned here in Sacramento. Others are the big corporations. And it sort of makes me think about how do you pick out these locally based companies, because this is really, they're what makes the world go around. And it seems to me that there is something we can do to rally around the investment into these small businesses that could be incentivized by the leadership, the economic development leadership.
Yeah, it's funny because I've been obviously staying up at night thinking about a ton of things. And one is crowdfunding, right? And so this is something I haven't talked to with the executive team, but one of my thoughts is if there's a way that we can just pull, various funds from the community together and then provide that as grant opportunities for businesses locally. Ideas like that, I think, warrant a discussion. Although we haven't implemented anything, I think I would like to encourage your viewers and, anyone who goes back and watches this video, if you have suggestions, if you want to chat, our team is small, but we're mighty. And so you can reach me at wiley@roseville.ca.us, or you can give me a call at 916-774-5283. But, my reoccurring theme in this is a collective effort. And so, I'm happy to have discussions and conversations with folks.
You bet. You bet.
Question about behavior. So Barry, behavior drives economy. And on your board, you have, I think, executives from every one of the healthcare systems, right? So we won't call you Dr. Barry or put you on the record, but what have you heard about, when life gets back to normal, when social distancing starts to decrease and things that will change and timelines?
Well, the one thing that we're doing well in our own community is we've been practicing it. So when you look at like what's going on in New York, New York's not been practicing social distance, so they all went to Florida, came back from spring break. So the place where the pandemic has really created threats, Detroit, LA, you saw where Mayor Garcetti was, have to threaten to fine people to get them not to be on the beach. So we're in, I do think we have data that says that we're as close to being ahead of the curve as possible on this pandemic by practicing social distancing. So we really applaud the president's position on extending that another 2 weeks, but we're looking at mid-May. We think by mid-May right now, if we keep practicing social distancing, we think by mid-May we'll be in a fully normal situation, and by June start to see really strong double-digit recovery in the economy. And then of course, fourth quarter, some economists are predicting a 10 or 12% bounce in the fourth quarter, which would be lovely. Mm-hmm.
Other questions surfacing yet, Rick?
Yeah, one is, I think about marketing, right? So how we market the region. And I know, Barry, your team does a great job. City of Roseville does a great job marketing the city. But, where do you think we're at as far as oftentimes there's a comparative to the Bay Area, right? That, you know, this is an alternative region to the Bay Area and all the advantages that come with that. But, you know, you'd never hear Austin advertised as another Dallas or another Houston, right? It has its own personality and its own, you know, strength. It's a capital city. You know, it has great universities. When do you think that Sacramento can stand up on its own and just say, we're a great region worldwide, or at least US-wide? And what if we're there, or if we're not there, what will it take to get there?
Well, I think first off, we're not the same community we were 5 years ago. You know, I've made over 2,000 presentations in the Bay Area and Silicon Valley. And I can tell you, making those in 15 and 16, it was a good thing I had an inflated ego. I needed every bit of that. A remarkably overrated sense of self-esteem really came in handy in 15 and 16. But, you know, now we're on the phone with these tech companies, and the anecdotal conversations is, yeah, we hear everybody's moving to Sacramento. We know it's just a matter of time. You know, we flatten our organization. Everybody's at home working. You know, why not stay virtual? If we end up getting an office and coming back together, we're just going to do that in Sacramento. That gets offered up in calls in the last 2 or 3 weeks. One of the other things, you know, that we've got some of these big tech companies, you know, they're very hard to get through. The last people that are going to buy our story is going to be the Googles and the Microsofts, you know, and that's why I spend most of my time in tech on these cool companies that sometimes Haney Business is working on. So I think it's flipping. And what I really think is, when MLS is operational, when Aggie Square, when people fully understand what's happening at Aggie Square, it's literally the most phenomenal, breathtaking launch of an economic development project I've ever seen in my life. I'm not joking. The amount of response to that. So when people come up and see us in the modern economy and see community dynamism, you know, because they came up here for years and years and years, and, you know, they saw us staying back, happy being a government town. You know, we weren't really dedicated or had the capacity to pull off an urban core. So the message when you send to the marketplace, when the rail yards sits empty since 1994, you know, you look like a place not going in the right direction, and then that perpetuates it. That is not the feedback we get now from companies at all. We get just the opposite of that now. So I think in 3 to 5 years, we work really, really hard, we're going to be there.
Yeah. Interesting. So I see one of our audience members owns a couple of co-working spaces, as do I. And so we all know that there's this shift in consumer behavior, or in the way we're going to approach our workplace. We may tend to work more at home. If you were, the crystal ball, I mean, what do you see in terms of office space and what will happen in the region's office space as more people decide they want to work from home? Is that going to help co-working, or you think that's going to hurt it?
No, I think it's going to help co-working a lot. I mean, to be honest with you, you know, I can't not have an office, you know, but if I didn't have an office right now, you know, we're 16 people, I would connect to a co-working space and, you know, have my conference hall meetings there and conference rooms like that. So I think if you're in co-working space, I think you're in a gold mine, because I think you're going to see, you know, because I think you're going to see, you know, we already know right now there's 150 to 200 people that work at Salesforce that telecommute from our community. There's 144,000 people living in our region that get their W-2s between San Francisco and San Jose. That's one of the reasons why the 80 is so tough to travel. But you're going to start to see those folks like, okay, you don't have to come down now. You got to stay up there. And I think if you're in small groups of engineering teams, 3 to 5, I mean, you know, you still need to be physically with each other to collaborate. It just doesn't mean your whole shop has to. But I could see, you know, a brand manager and a couple of communication pros wanting to be in co-working space. I could see a team of 6 or 8 engineers wanting to be in co-working space. So I think co-working space is going to be a very hot commodity.
Wayne, do you have thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree. You know, Roseville has over 2,000 in-home businesses. And what I hear from a lot of those folks is, you know, at first it's nice to be able to work from home, but as you saw, when your kid starts coming in on your conference calls and, you know, stuff like that, then you want to get your space. And so we've seen an emergence of co-working in Roseville. I think we're up to about 6 or 7, and it's growing. And the unique thing is they all kind of offer something different, right? And so you have makerspace that can be included. You have your standard co-working with an emphasis on similar types of businesses. And so, yeah, I think it's an exciting time for co-working.
What about the residential market? As we, so, you know, most of the people here in the Roseville, Rockland, Loomis area, or even El Dorado Hills, we have yards, right? So we have a place if we want to walk outside and get on the phone or so on, or something like that. So shelter in place in places like Placer County is nice. We're not on top of each other as much. Do you think there'll be a trend toward that?
I think so. I think people are going to become more accustomed to this work environment, right? Working from home, doing these types of meetings. And so it's gonna make it easier. And I know, you know, for the city of Roseville, our organization hasn't really in the past had a telecommunication or telecommuting policy. Now that we've had to do it kind of on the fly, there's something in place that we can base, you know, long-term policies around.
Barry, you have thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, you know, we've already been seeing it. So, you know, what's cool when you're 27 isn't cool when you're 33. So we already know a lot of these little tech companies, when they came up the last 3 or 4 years, oh, we want to be in Midtown because our employees don't want to live in Midtown. I've watched one by one, I've watched those employees move to Rockland and Lincoln. So there's a huge there's a significant out-migration from Midtown to Rockland and Lincoln because, lo and behold, you turn 32, you're getting married, you might have a kid one day, and there's where the schools are, and housing affordability is still intact. So I think Placer County, between its amenities and its schools, have a huge advantage over this. And I think as we move towards digital transformation, you're going to just see much more flexible work environments. I mean, already my HR person lives in Rockland, Stephanie Bird. She never comes to work. I mean, she's never... You know, we got to remember she's there. You know, we forget about her sometimes. You know, my controller lives in Roseville. She comes to work once a week. This is before the pandemic. So you're going to see a lot more of a virtual personality in companies. And the other thing too, you know, so there's two kind of, I'll give you kind of sneak rollouts on our marketing campaign starting in June and July. One is digital transformation. Because not only will this banking and financial institution digitally transform, so will these restaurants, so will healthcare, so will insurance. And that's going to mean, you know, a lot more people working out of their home. So that's going to be a big advantage to Placer County. And then the other is the employee experience. So one of the things we've picked up from a couple of big tech companies is, you know, they were so tight in the labor market that every single decision started to become the employee experience. And they literally know if the employee drives 5 minutes more to work than one other place. So I think this notion of the greater Sacramento region giving people the best employee experience, you know, we were getting a little expensive on housing. That will cool. Between what we have building in the ground and what's cooling, that's gonna keep our housing advantage, which keeps your payroll advantage. I think you're gonna see rents soften a little bit. That helps us with the young professionals. So these are all the things that I think are going to really be tipping our way in the next 3 to 5 years. And then you have these big robust plays like, what do you got going on around here? Well, hey, you know, we're going to open up our MLS team in 2020. Kaiser's building a $2 million healthcare center. You know, we have this new regenerative medicine platform. So these talking points to investors 5, 6, 7 years was, hey, it's a nice place to live, a nice place to raise a family. Well, that, as you know, that's not a differentiator in business. So now we have all these differentiating places in business, and I always let the company tell me, and you can still buy a house and it's a nice place to raise a family. And then I always go, hey, you're right about that. So we're able to lead now with market achievements. And, you know, let's not forget, in 2019, we were 14th in the United States in venture capital activity. You know, we had, I think, $148 million of early stage venture money close on the region. So we got a VC story, we got a tech story, we got some companies looking at doing IPOs. Power School and Folsom closed on $2.1 billion in financing. We have this incredible cell therapeutic achievement coming out of the ground with UC Davis. We got our second sports team, great weather, great place to live, proximity to Silicon Valley. But there's real hard evidence now in the ground because of your work, Mark, Dale Carlson, my buddy Kevin Nagel, Lakesh, all these guys have put years into this market. And now there's real evidence that legitimate, credible business differentiation is going on here. Now you add that to it's a fun place to live and a quality of life play, and you've got a real story.
Rick, you were, I know we're toward the end of our time. Anything you want to wrap up with? You want any final questions?
Yeah, I think that's it for all the major questions. So I just want to thank the panelists for participating today. It was a great discussion. I think very informative, very encouraging. So, you know, it was a great response. I would just encourage all of you that attended today to continue to share the webinars. So we post these on our YouTube channel. We post these on our podcast channel. And just go to our website, haneybiz.com, our dedicated crisis page, haneybiz.com/crisis, to learn more about some of the programs that we've launched to help support the community. And with that said, thank you, Wayne, and the City of Roseville for being great.
Thank you, guys.
Community partners with Haney Biz. Barry, thank you, and GSEC for your leadership in the region and all your support for entrepreneurs, small businesses, large businesses, and everyone who's focused on making Sacramento the great region it is. So thank you all.
Yeah. Thanks, Barry. Thanks, Wayne. Really appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, Haney Biz. You guys are great champions. Thank you.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.